It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick with you today, filling in for John Hockenberry. You know, as we do our holiday shopping this time of year, it's hard not to notice all the seemingly luxurious little food gifts that are perfect for that person on your list who has everything. You know what I'm talking about. The artisanal hand-bottled sodas in flavors like Grassy Meadow. There's artisanal biscotti, supposedly crafted from a recipe from somebody's grandmother in Italy. And artisanal chocolate from bean to bar and packaged in paper and string that's supposed to remind you of a time before people had access to ice, I guess. But Dan Pashman, host of WNYC's Sporkful podcast, is here, and he says practice some caution when you're considering these high-end and expensive food gifts, beginning with that chocolate I mentioned, and one brand in particular called Mast Brothers.
So the Mast Brothers are these two brothers. They make chocolate in Brooklyn. They started 7 or 8 years ago, and they were really one of the first artisanal, twee, handcrafted Brooklyn food brands to go big. Like, long before there was artisanal mayonnaise in Brooklyn, there were the Mast Brothers, okay? And they claimed their chocolate was bean to bar, meaning it's all of one type of cocoa bean that's going all the way into the bar. It's sort of like the equivalent of single malt scotch, if you will, with chocolate. And they have these big bushy beards, and all these pictures of them have them in their Williamsburg loft looking very serious, you know, like they're curing cancer, even though they're like, no one's ever had less fun making chocolate than the Mast Brothers.
And they're clearly, I mean, this is decidedly un-Willy Wonka. This is no joke, in
right,
other words.
Right.
Yeah, they're selling a whole thing here.
That's right. And even the wrappers on the chocolate bars were designed by an artist and are beautiful. And on top of everything, these bars cost about $10 a piece. Turns out, though, that the chocolate ain't quite as great as they claimed, it appears. Some very experienced people in the world of chocolate who have had doubts about the Mast Brothers for a number of years have really gone after them. One food blogger in Dallas in particular has gone after them, saying that they were remelting other kinds of chocolate into their chocolate bars, especially in the early days when they were claiming they were bean to bar. And they said the texture of those bars couldn't possibly have been bean to bar. They could never have cranked out the variety of bars they were cranking out in the size of a plant they had, doing it bean to bar. It was all these signs of industrial manufacturing processes in place.
Blending essentially chocolate alloys.
That's
which
right.
Which is going against the purity, the nature of the very earnest looks and the big beards essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Mast Brothers have now admitted to using some of these kinds of additives in the very early days. They say it was part of their wild and crazy experimentation days. They don't do it anymore. But there's a sort of a swarm happening around them. And what I find most interesting about this is, you know, when you spend $10 for a chocolate bar, what are you really spending that $10 for? What are you really buying? You really are not just spending that money for chocolate, because you could count on two hands the number of people in America who can tell the difference between a $5 chocolate bar and a $10 chocolate bar, and I'm sure not one of them. So you're paying for something else. You're paying really for a lifestyle. You spent $10 on a chocolate bar because you want to be able to go brag about the fact that you just spent $10 on a chocolate bar, because it's not because you can taste the difference between that and a $5 chocolate bar.
Right. Well, in many ways, this is the entire criticism of a lot of the essence of branding itself. But back to Christmas then, I, Joe Christmas giver, want to give a Mast Brothers bar because I'm giving it to the person and they will know that I spent a little bit of serious money on that. I didn't spend $500, but here's a chocolate bar. They will know that I care enough for them to have a little bit of taste of luxury in their stocking, right? So if I'm not going to get Mast Brothers now because they're alloying chocolate frauds, those are my words, where do I go? What do I do if I want to give a little love for $10 or $15 for something small?
Can I drop a tiny bit of science on you first,
please,
Todd? So on one hand, study after study has shown that people judge foods, whether it's chocolate or wine or what have you, based in part on the price tag. And they will assume that if it's more expensive, it's better. And in a blind taste test, they'll say that the exact same glass of wine was better when they were told it was more expensive. On the other hand, I just did this episode of The Sporkful with Serious Eats food science guru Kenji Lopez Alt. He made the case. He said, look, you eat and taste in part with your brain. If your brain thinks it's better and you get more pleasure from it, then it really does taste better, even if it actually doesn't taste better.
But I think the real essential answer to this question is I'm willing to pay a little bit more if I can look my loved one or my friend in the eye and with a straight face say, this really, really is good. So what are some of the things out there, Mr. Food Expert Sporkful, Dan Pashman, where I can be confident that they really are getting something where I can say, yeah, you might get a little bit of luxury pleasure because I paid $20 for it, even though it's worth $3, but it actually is great.
I think a bottle of wine actually is a good way to go based on Kenji's logic. And that is because, you know, you get a 3 or 4 times markup on a bottle of wine when you're at a restaurant. So if you have a friend who likes a good bottle of wine at a restaurant, they're going to pay $75 or $100 for that bottle at a restaurant. You can buy it for $20 or $25 at the liquor store. If that's a person who goes out to nice restaurants a lot, they're going to recognize that bottle as an expensive bottle. And they probably won't even believe how cheap it is because they're used to getting it at the fancy pants restaurants. Mm. And, you know, studies have shown that even among wine experts, if you tell them the wine is more expensive, they will use more obscure adjectives to describe the notes of a wine if they think it's more expensive.
Any non-alcoholic suggestions as well?
I think chocolate bars are actually a great way to go, but they don't need to be the ones like the Mash Brothers. I think that if you get one that's like a regional delicacy, it will feel exotic to people who aren't from that region. So, for instance, I love Pearson's Nut Goodies, which come from Minnesota. They are delicious. They're chocolatey with a little bit of a caramel and nougat and nut, and they are so, so good. You can get those things shipped, ship some Pearson's Nut Goodies, and then it's exotic because it's different.
And something you can't buy in every store. It's regional.
Exactly. So it has that specialty item feel, but it's just good old-fashioned delicious chocolate.
I'll tell you what, it's not very Christmassy, but I routinely buy Cleveland Stadium mustard and have it sent to people because they can't get it. It's delicious. I don't know that I would give mustard for Christmas. Maybe you could if you have that kind of friendship.
Sure.
But people don't get it outside of Cleveland, and they really love it when they get it in the mail.
What kind of friendship is a mustard kind of friendship?
Dan Pashman is host of WNYC's Sporkful podcast. Thanks for the Christmas advice, Dan.
Happy holidays, Todd.
And for the record, we reached out to the Mast Brothers for comment, which they did provide. Their statement said, among other things, we never admitted to remelting other chocolate during our first year. We happily confirmed what we had always been open and honest about. You can find the full statement from the Mast Brothers at our website, thetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.